Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head to the sky.
Blessings, brothers and sisters, welcome to Inspirational Wednesday, and that's exactly what it is and all that it is. We do not acknowledge any pagan, satanic days, for this is a day that the Most High has made, and Satan's forces will never trump who and what we represent and what his word and his mercy, his son, his grace, his statutes, laws, and commandments represent. That being said, I do want to pray this morning. Father, we rebuke every foul spirit, every disembodied spirit, every evil connotation, every necromancing and fortune-telling, and just this whole holiday and what it stands for with these heathens and these wicked people. We come against it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And we ask that you would send forth your mercy and grace, and that the ambassadors of this earth would walk and make themselves known on this day and rebuke the darkness and every wicked and foul spirit in high places and inside these people that are seeking to destroy people, sacrifice people, cantations, incantations, watch horror movies, people be possessed and murdered. I rebuke that in the name of Yeshua tonight and today. I rebuke it. I rebuke it. I pray that somebody comes to you, repents, gets baptized, finds you. Let this day be marked by you and your redeeming power and grace. But may your people stand up and be strong and not compromise. For this is not a day of darkness. We don't even acknowledge it. We will not walk in fear, for you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And may that be upon your people as they shun the very appearance of evil. I thank you. I praise you. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. So be it. So be it. All right. Before we get into it, I want to say Brother D on the line, who'll be bringing the lesson as well. How's it going this morning?
Doing just fine. I was thinking about this all night long, you know, when it comes to things like this. I just pray that this lesson is received well, that it, that, and that it blesses the elect, that the Most High guides me.
Most definitely. You know, any time that you seek to do His will, He'll watch over His word to perform it. But before we get into the lesson, I did want to bring out a few scriptures rebuking these compromising Christians and half-stepping Hebrews that want to take their kids out there to get some candy because they want to eat this satanic needle-filled, poison-filled, strychnine-filled candy. So we just want to point this out. Let me read this scripture real quick. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That takes care of that right there. You think it's cute for little Jacob Israel to put on a costume for just today? Nah, I rebuke that. Don't let your son pass through the fire. Or that useth a divination or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, verse 11, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Most High. And because of these abominations, the Most High, our Yah, doth drive them out before thee. This is the reason why we see a lot of people being destroyed, turned over, just wickedness happening all around us. But my heart goes out to, I'm starting to hear so many more stories, Brother D, of young ladies coming up missing and body parts missing and being dismembered. Our teenage girls all the way up through their 20s, they're being taught the wrong things, how to be little hoochies and everything else, and they're being killed. They're being set up. They're being destroyed. And also I want to give a shout out to... and a prayer to Miss Melissa McKinney's, who was an activist out of St. Louis over there in Ferguson and helped to support the Mike Brown family. They found her son lynched and hanging from a tree on October 17th. They killed him. So
I saw a headline there, but I didn't realize that's who that was, that was the connection.
Yeah, that's the connection. Okay. She's an activist about all the murders and different things happening in St. Louis, and so they caught her son. So know that when you take a stand for Yah, you know, you got to cover your kids too, make sure they're protected and not out there doing all type of things, because you set your kids up when you decide to take a stand and speak out loud, cry out loud. You know, you put your whole family at risk. So it's important that they understand these statutes, laws, and commandments, and that you cover them in the blood. You can't just be out there trying to be an activist and don't have the protection of Yah. But Yah don't really want us in those streets. He wants us crying out to Him and crying out against sin. And that's the important thing.
Exactly. And if I could say something about the pagan day, that the witch's day that's tomorrow, and you Hebrews out there.
No. That's today, brother.
No, tomorrow's the 31st.
Brother D. Hold on, let me see if I'm... No, today is the 31st. You got me thrown off of him, and you had me second-guessing. Today...
Oh, it is. You're right. Okay. You're right. It's today.
Yeah. Well, I prayed that prayer and read that scripture. It's today. Yeah. And just so we know, I actually went to prayer last night because midnight last night is when a lot of the kidnapped people were sacrificed. So it was my prayer last night that some of them escaped. I've heard of divine intervention where people escaped chains and different things like that. And we need to pray all night tonight because there'll be more people that people will be trying to sacrifice tonight. And that's why I'm talking about this young lady's son in St. Louis. He was hung. It's a very satanic month. And they think this is an homage to their god, Lucifer. So we have to rebuke the darkness today, and especially for our babies and our kids. But go ahead. Say what you're going to say. This is the day, right?
Yeah, all I was going to say is that the Hebrews out there, you're dressing your kid up in an angel, ain't going to make it right. It's a pagan day. And so we're not to partake in it at all. Have nothing to do with it. Stay far away from it.
Yeah,
you know how people try to compromise. Well, maybe if I do this, it'll be okay. The Most High won't care to, but we'll be okay with it. But no, that ain't going to make it right.
No, it's not. And that is definitely Deuteronomy 18 and 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. I rebuke you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you got little JoJo Israel going to the elementary school with a costume on today because you think it's cute and got him dressed up like he's Jacob or Moses. No, that does not work. We participate in no form on today. You hypocritical Christians that's going to harvest night tonight, that is a sin. That's against Yah's will. You do not acknowledge this day in any fashion or form and dress up and partake on a lower level. I rebuke you now in the name of who you call Jesus Christ. I rebuke you now. There's no harvest festival because a harvest festival is actually satanic because the harvest festival is an homage to a fallen deity, a god. And for you to call it a harvest festival, that is ridiculous. And then the hallelujah night. No, it's not no hallelujah night. Every day of your life is hallelujah. So I rebuke all that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad for redeeming us from the curse of darkness and this untoward generation.
And to show how, you know, out of order it is, I remember when I was going to evangelical church and they know that Halloween would be coming up. And so what they would do is they would have, you know, a little celebration in the church where kids get candy and come in with their costumes or whatever or whatnot. And the thing is, you know, you're still participating. I don't care if you try to do it in the church and keep the kids safe, you're still participating. But that's how the world is, you know, and that's how the modern day church is. They try to fit in. We don't need to fit in, at least not with that.
I want everyone listening to me to picture a pyramid. And the lower base and lower level of the pyramid, if you envision it, it's much more broad and it's a lower level. And then as you go up, it comes inside and the levels begin to draw themselves in to where there's a fewer amount of stones on that level, the higher you go until you get to the top and there's just one stone. What happens is that on the lowest level is the foundation that supports the apex of the top. What I'm trying to say to you is that any activity that you participate in on this night that mimics or shadows or what you think is the opposite of Halloween and trick-or-treating, you are participating on a lower level and you are involved in the ritual, giving it a foundation for those who are at the top that know what they're doing and what this day is, are sacrificing human bodies and praying to Satan and Lucifer and increasing his strength. While at the lower level, people are killing people. And at the lowest level, people are sending kids to knock on doors, which comes from Samhain Day, where it was, if you don't do this for us. We will attack, possess you. Do as demons said they would do, and as demons are described to do in Enoch, the 10th chapter, and Enoch, the 15th chapter. So, Hallelujah Day, giving out candy, talking about we're going to keep the trick-or-treat in the pagan church. And you're participating on that lower level of the pyramid, while at the same time you're doing that, you're aligning yourself with what's happening at the top of that pyramid where the ultimate sacrifice is being made. So all of that energy is going up into what they're doing, the upper 1%, to their God, Satan and Lucifer. You can't participate in any aspect whatsoever. You have to rebuke it. You have to cry out loud today. A little kid come to your church, I mean, come to your door, ringing your doorbell. Tell them what they're doing. Tell their parents. We do not participate in that. Some of y'all used to give them little Bibles, little tracts. Okay, I guess that's fine if you want to do that. But cry out loud is what Isaiah 58 said. Spare not. You know, it's not even good enough to just shut off. Some of us used to go hide in our house, turn off our porch light and lock our door and be like, I'm just not going to answer the door. Go ahead and answer the door. Rebuke them kids. Rebuke their parents. Tell them the Most High is not
Yeah.
Tell them the Most High.
I like that, Brother B.
Yeah. Rebuke them. All right, Brother D. Well, I just wanted to get some of that out and definitely want to, and I'm praying for a sister. I'm going to call your name, Sister Janice Whitney. See you on Facebook. You've been going through some hell. We're praying for you. And then while you were going through hell, your son's ex-girlfriend murdered your son. And I believe it was a cold-blooded murder. My heart goes out to you because, she just murdered him in cold blood. And I know prior to that, she was just coming to the faith and the truth. So we lift you up in prayer, too. And I'm praying for you, Hebrews. We're at particular time right now. It's just all these white folks putting on blackface this year. It's a joke to them. So many people calling the cops on us. Our babies are being murdered in Chicago. Body parts coming up missing. We're getting, and this vote, this election is coming up, and there's something getting ready to transpire. And we're at the crux of all of this, and y'all don't believe it. The reason these other nations hate Israel and what happened to them, because they know that they are not Israel. The other countries know this. America purports to lie and pushes it. So stay strong, Hebrews. Stay strong and get out of this foolishness of cutting each other up and come back to the power of Yah. Hallelujah.
Okay. Let's get to it then. The lesson we're bringing today is meekness, something that the Most High requires of us. The opposite of what the world thinks. The world puts a great value on pride. We know that the Most High, he abhors pride. He doesn't want us to be pride. But I'm going to give you a definition of meekness in the Bible. It says an attitude of humble, submissive, and expectant trust in Yah, and loving patience and a gentle attitude towards others, softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocation. And that brings us to mind of Yeshua, the way they provoked him and injured him as he was being crucified. But he not only didn't complain, but he also asked the Most High to forgive these people. That's the ultimate meekness. Now, if you look at the Webster Dictionary, because you know they always they're against anything that the Most High brings out. It's always the opposite. What they say is that they have some of it here, but they said that humbly patient or docile as under provocation from others, overly submissive or compliant, and get this, it said spiritless and tame. Now they're saying that it's been, you know, and we know that meekness is the fruit of the spirit, but they're saying that it's it's spiritless. But we know that everything that the Most High comes, they want to brings out, they want to go in the opposite direction. And I look at meekness as strength under control. because you do have an inner strength, that strength that the Most High brings to you, but you've got it under control. You know, you're not flying off the handle and getting upset or whatnot because you are with the Most High. Let's see, where are they?
I know. What scripture are you going to? I know right now, I don't know if you're reading this, but the scripture said, the meek shall inherit the earth.
Yes, I am going to get to that. matter of fact, that's part of the promises of Yah's promises to me. And I guess I'll start there. James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Most High, and he shall lift you up. See, the Most High is going to be with you. He's gonna just like he did with the children of Israel when they was in the wilderness, he went before them. He went before them, and like I said, he lifted them up. And Psalms 37:11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth. It's like you just mentioned, Brother V, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. See, these are the promises that the Most High has given us if we'll be meek, because it's not something that, I mean, we want to, because of the lust of the world, we want to get up in our feelings. We want to get all upset, but, you know, to be meek, we need to work at that.
Yeah, you know, the scripture right before you started the lesson, you were talking about the meekness and being humble and being quiet. That ties in with last Saturday's message. But Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. So the one who guards his words guards his life, and that's a part of the meekness that you were talking about. I just wanted to bring that out. I was looking for it while you were reading.
Yeah, no, that makes that, like I said, we do need to, just like our Sabbath lesson, watch our mouth. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall. Did I do that one already?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That's just a precept on Psalm 37:11. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 25:9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So you have to have some meekness in order to listen to what the Most High is bringing forth to you, what he is saying. Because you're all out there in your pride, and you think you know everything, you're not listening. You're not going to get the benefit of what the Most High has for us.
Right.
And Psalm 69:30-36. I'm going to read that for you. Verse 30. We'll praise the name of Yah with a song, and we'll magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Most High, better than an ox bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Because the Most High is not looking for our the offerings. Let's see, 32. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek Yah. For the Most High heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, and the seas and everything that moveth therein. For Yah will save Zion, and he will build the city of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. So we're talking about not only if we practice this being meek, Most High, he'll be with us. Not only with us, but as the last verse shows you, also to our Israel seed. He protects us throughout generations. Let's see. And Yah acts to save the meek. I mean, if you're out there in your pride or whatnot, you know, it's like, okay, well, the Most High said, okay, go on with your bad self. You got this. You know, but if you're meek and you humble yourself to him and let him get out in front of you, it's just so much better. In 2 Samuel, it says, 2 Samuel 22:28, it says, and the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. So like I said, he's lifting up his people. He's lifting up the meek, but he's going to bring down those who are haughty or have their pride out in front of them. Another instance, let's go to Psalms 10, 12, 17. 12 and 17, I'm sorry. Arise, O Yah, O Elohim. Okay, hold on a second here. Yeah, I started. Lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Verse 17. Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Cause thine ear to hear. The Most High will hear you if you come to him in meekness. You know, and something like I said, we all need to practice because we're too quick to get upset, to want to come back at somebody. Just think of Yeshua, all the things that were done to him, and he didn't come back at people with anger. He came back to them with that spirit of meekness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this one here I really like. It's Zephaniah 2 and 3. It says, seek ye the Most High, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in a day of the Lord's anger. And that's powerful there. Isn't that powerful there? I mean, because, I mean, if you're practicing meekness, you know, you're trying to be meek. Like I said, the Most High will protect you in that day. As it says, you know, there's going to be a lot of, as we see now, a lot of the stuff the Most High is bringing on a lot of people because he's mad at what has been done to his creation here, the earth, how they polluted that, and then also how they polluted the people.
Yeah, you know, I was having a conversation with a family member the other day, and they're still on that rapture tip, but they're starting to realize that maybe there's not going to be a rapture because technology has advanced to the level where we're like a few months away from everybody getting a chip, probably next year.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I was just talking about the fact that at the end of the day, when the bullets run out and everything else, we still are going to have to flee that ship and flee into the mountains. And I talked about Lot, and I said the angels will come and lead us out. And they weren't understanding. And I was like, it's just going to come down. Because, see, unfortunately, a lot of the folks in church are still holding fast to this rapture. They think that's their salvation. You just read a scripture that if you're righteous and meek, maybe he'll hide you in the day of judgment. So, you know, it's your righteousness, your meekness, and your holiness. At least Zephaniah tells us that there's the possibility of being hidden on the day of the Lord if you're walking in the right way. So that's what I'm glad to hear, because they weren't understanding. I said it's going to come down when it gets thick like this and the chip is being forced on us and death is all around us. The rubber's going to meet the road, and we're going to find out who really has faith in Yah, who really loves him, who really has the Holy Spirit. Because it's going to be so treacherous. People are going to be trying to feed themselves, feed their babies. Ain't going to want to eat grass. Not going to want to flee to the mountains. But I like the scripture you just read because it does give an insurance policy that there's the possibility of being hid in the day of trouble.
And that's that we can look forward to, because we know that, you know, a lot of us come out of the Christian church and there's a lot of lies we were told, but during that time, most of us was not reading this book. We listened to what the pastor said, take that, go with it, and we figure, okay, it's done. I don't need to do anything else. And no, study to show thyself approved. You need to know what's inside this. Not only do you need to know what's inside this Bible, but you have to know what's inside this Bible if you want to be right and ready for that day of judgment and not be
Stop looking for the rapture.
Exactly. Yeah, because you're going to be looking for it. You're going to be looking until judgment day for that. Psalms 18:27. for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high looks. Psalms 149:4 says, for the Most High taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. See, as we can see here, the Most High puts a high value on meekness and humbleness. Go ahead, Brady.
I'm sorry, brother. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that precept ties in with Zephaniah. That scripture right there expands Zephaniah. Zephaniah only gave it like there's the possibility, but this one right here just said, can you read that one more time? So I don't misquote.
Okay. For the Most High taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation.
That's it. He is going to beautify us by saving us. Salvation is Yeshua. Salvation is Yeshua. Salvation is when he comes back. How is he going to beautify the meek? By saving us from this. Incredible.
And it's a great hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, and meekness is the correct attitude in prayer. When you come to the Most High in prayer, you come there knowing that, you know, the Most High is, you know, he created everything. So you come to him with meekness when you pray. James, I'm going to go read James 1:19-21. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And we know a lot of us are just the opposite of that. Someone looks at you wrong, next thing you know, like I said, you coming at them. You know, you're saying stuff before you think about what you're saying. You know, and then later on, feel like you realize that you said something that was ridiculous. I mean,
right.
It's funny. A person can be quiet, not say much of anything, and automatically people will bestow upon them some kind of wisdom or not something because they figure they're listening or whatnot. But if you're out there talking all the time and you're not up in your feelings, you're not going to get that same type of respect. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yah. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness as superfluity of haughtiness, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And we know that, like I said, the word will save your soul. If you get into it, you get into a righteous type of attitude or personality. And meekness is expected. It's expected by the Most High of us. It's a necessary characteristic. And Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. I mean, but you know how it is. We always want to say, well, I know I'm better than this person, and you know I've got this going on. You know, no, you said you may be blessed by the Most High, but you thank the Most High for that, and then you keep on moving. You know, not putting it in somebody's face. Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore as the elect of Yah, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness and mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And we were talking about this earlier, about the fruit of the Spirit, and meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's not spiritless, as the dictionary wants to say. Galatians 5:19-25, and I like this here, too. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Because if you're walking in that type of spirit, the law, you're following the law. You're doing what you have to do. If you're walking in that type of spirit, then, you know, the law can't convict you. 24, and they that are Yeshua's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm going to go down here and talk about some people who in this Bible that are meek, that were meek.
Okay.
And I'll start with Abraham. Let's go to Genesis 13:7-9. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. 9, it is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Part to the right hand, then I will go to the left. This is Abraham, well beloved by Yah. He humbled himself and gave Lot the choice. But that's just the type of humbleness that the Most High expects of us. I mean, we know Abraham was a great man. He's a father. He was our father. But like I said, when it came down to it, he acted in humbleness and meekness.
Mm.
And another one that we know is I'm gonna go to Numbers 12:3 when it speaks about Moses. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And this is when Miriam and Aaron came against Moses. He was all upset, telling, this Most High only talked to him. But the Most High was really loved Moses. Moses interceded for us more than a few times. Because even that time when the Most High was upset with Miriam and Aaron, when they were talking bad about Moses, Aaron came to Moses and asked him to speak to Yah because Yah wasn't here, and Miriam, she was praying to the Most High to take that leprousness off of her, but he wasn't hearing her. So Aaron had to go to Moses, and Moses said, Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses, I'm sorry, 12:13, and Moses cried unto the Most High, saying, heal her now, O Yah, I beseech thee. Now, can you imagine? Some of us would say, "Well, it serves the right that she get to come against me because you're in your pride." And that Moses, right away, he prayed to the Most High to heal her and to make her whole again. But that's meekness. You know, that's the humbleness. You humble yourself and don't get into your pride.
Yeah.
Let's see. And when you look at how the Most High felt about Moses, I'm going to read Numbers 12, 6 to 8 and 13, verse 6. And he said, and this is how he talked the Most High, what he said to Miriam and Aaron. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, the Most High will make myself known. But Yah will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in the dark speeches. Not in the dark speeches, and the similitude of the Most High shall he behold. Wherefore then were we not afraid to speak against him? See, the Most High loved Moses so much. He wants to say, you know, didn't you think about what you were doing, that you weren't afraid to speak against him, knowing how the Most High loved Moses? Because like I said, he spoke to him mouth to mouth. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. He said Moses was different. And another one, let's look at Ahab. We know all of the wickedness that Ahab was involved with when he, you know, followed Jezebel. He's doing his wife's bidding, the wickedness that she was doing. But he repented in the end. And the Most High said of him in 1 Kings 21 and 29, "Thou how Ahab humbled himself before me, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." You know, so, I mean, just the idea that he humbled himself and became meek to the Lord and repented, the Most High didn't bring the evil upon him, didn't make him suffer what he made his son suffer going forward. Plus, you can look at Paul, 2 Corinthians 10 and 1. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Yeshua." And we know Yeshua was gentle, and he did have meek, because he didn't come to destroy when he came here the first time. Who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. And in 1 Corinthians 4:21, what Paul says is, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" And what this puts me in mind of is you have these Hebrews out on the streets trying to bring the truth to people and tell them, you know, what this Bible, but, you know, they're cursing people out. They're, you know, they're telling them that you can't be saved at all. I mean, that's not how Paul, and Paul was, taught to Gentiles, and that's not how he came to them. You know, but a lot of these people, they're in their pride.
Yeah, I think this is amazing. What you're saying, I think, is amazing because of the paradox that exists, that the Most High wants us to lower ourselves so he can elevate us. And it's like the lower you go, the higher he'll lift you. And that's where the changing in our thought process comes in, by the commandments of the law are perfect, converting the soul of man and making simple the wise, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a renewing principle, because all these people you're naming became great people and were great people in the sight of Yah, but they became so humble and meek. It was only when Moses lost himself and got upset and struck the rock that cost him. He's like, wait, 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 you got out of character. You got out of character. So this paradox that most people can't understand, because most people want to elevate themselves and title themselves or make sure nobody in their organization or camp gets higher than themselves. But this meekness and humility and humbleness, I'm just seeing that even when you lay out prostrate before the Most High Yah, you put your hands up, you lower your head, you get on your knees. He's just looking for this. And he's saying, if you will do this, I'll elevate you. So it's just really, I see it's a reworking of the mind process and the thoughts.
Yeah, well, and what does it say? Those who are seeking to have themselves or looking at themselves as someone higher will be lowest in the kingdom. These people, you know, they're captain of 10,000, and I'm king this, and you know, I mean, these people, they are exalting themselves, and it's not what the Most High calls for us to do. And then that takes us to our brother David, King David. Read Psalms 31 and 1. This is David speaking. "Yah, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, this is David. We know the things that David did, what he meant to Israel, but he is, just like he said, he is lowering himself. You know, he's not exalting himself. Even when the Most High anointed him as king and Saul was still there, David, you know, he still reverenced Saul as a king. I mean, David could have took his life, but he didn't do it. I mean, and
yeah.
he let Saul know that, hey, you know, I was there. This is what I could have did. But David did not want to. He did not want to strike down with the Most High.
I'm only laughing because you're taking me back to a sermon I preached, and I say sermon because it was years ago when I was probably in my early 30s, and it was about what you're talking about now, how David could have got him, and I had called the sermon "Tear It Off," which is an urban colloquialism for just let it go. And but David tore off Saul's skirt to say, "See, I had a piece. I want you to see this piece of your skirt. I could have killed you." But I didn't. And that's why I'm laughing. The opportunities, but he humbled himself and acknowledged it. Yeah.
And it's hard for us to do that. A lot of us to do that. That's why I say we need to practice that. When we catch ourselves getting into pride, we need to stop and think about what we're doing and try and back off. Ask the Most High for forgiveness. And this is also David in 1 Chronicles 16:17. And David, the king, came and sat before the Most High and said, "Who am I, O Yah, Elohim, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Yah, but thou hast also spoken of my servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree." And the whole thing, you know, let Yah exalt us. Let the Most High exalt us. You know, we're not supposed to be here trying to say, "Look at me. This is what I'm doing." Because when you do that, and you say, "Well, I did this for this people. I did it like the Most High said," or like that, you know, you have your reward. You know, your reward before men.
Let me qualify this real quick. I have to qualify this. Everything you're saying is correct. But once again, there comes the happy medium and the dynamic, which I got to check you Hebrews on. At the same time, the Bible said, "Touch not my anointed." Do not disrespect someone who's been called by Yah to be in office, to be in an office that he's placed them in. Regardless of what was transpiring, no one was allowed to disrespect the prophets. The prophet would check the kings. So you're not allowed to walk up to somebody and say, "You ain't nobody," or "You're just this," or "You're just that," because the Most High don't even do nothing in the earth unless he reveals it to his prophets first. And most people can't receive it because now we got arrogant brothers who are taking the arrogance to another level and saying, "You're not a prophet. You just another brother just like me," and don't give him that respect. You know what that does? Sets him up for failure, because if David had been like that, he'd have told Samuel, "Man, get out my castle," talking about somebody took somebody's ewe lamb. "Man, you ain't nobody, but just another thing you're talking about." So let the humility also be upon you by recognizing someone who's been called by Yah that can speak into your life. Because right now, Brother D, we got a problem. Nobody has a teacher anymore. YouTube is their teacher, and they listen to a multiplicity of lessons and sermons, which is why they know it all, but they're yet confused because they're hearing so many doctrines. No one subscribes to a teacher. They have multiple teachers, and so they take this out of context about being equal brethren. They take it out of context because there are levels in Yah, and you're not just going to be on the same level as an elder who's been around and he's 70 years old and he didn't been through more hell than you, and he's preaching, teaching, and prophesied and has a lot more fruit on his tree than you have. You got one little plum on your tree. You still bragging about it. And this elder, he got more than a plum. Some of the fruit off his tree has made other trees. you have to respect that too.
Well, exactly. You know, it's just like in Galatians where people take that out of context, saying that, you know, we're all the same, and Yeshua. Well, you know, but there's always going to be an order, you know, because there have to be an order. Certain people have to be, you know, certain people have to be in higher states where they're teaching, they're enforcing the laws and whatnot. There's always going to be an order, you know, but people are quick to take the Bible out of context.
Right. Joel's army that the book of Jude speaks about, when it talks about it in Joel, the second chapter and third chapter, it says they will not break ranks. When we get converted and be given all this supernatural powers and anointing and the 144,000, it said we're going to be marching and we will not break rank. We will have order.
Not at all.
Yeah, Yah is a God of order. Yes.
I mean, and why would you break ranks when you have the Most High, you have Yeshua leading the charge? Why would you break ranks? There's no reason. And to sum it up about David, I read this whole thing about him. David's greatness was not in his bravery, even though he was very brave. It was not in his battles that he won, even though he won many. It was not in the glory of his reign, even though he had his share of glory. It was in his willingness to submit to the will of Yah and to humble his heart when he sinned. And mm-hmm. that's what we remember about David, especially, you know, after the whole incident with Bathsheba. You could tell that he was sincere in his repentance of Yah. And just like you mentioned on the Sabbath, there's going to be some consequences, but the Most High accepted that. He didn't kill David because looking at the law, he would have been in his right to kill David, but he didn't. He repented. But like you said, there still were some consequences, but David's repentance was sincere.
Yes.
And when you want to get to the one who really showed humbleness and meekness, if you go no further than Yeshua. I mean, Philippians 6:7, it says, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I mean, he humbled himself. I mean, he was God. And then he came down here as man, you know, a base form. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that. How many people you would think that would be king would willingly abdicate their reign and go down to being one of the regular citizens?
Yeah.
This is what the Most High did. I mean, this is what Yeshua did. And the Most High gave him to us for this. Let's see. John 13:4-6. He rises from supper. This has to do when when Yeshua humbled himself and washed the feet of the disciples. It says, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the disciples, they knew how great he was. They knew who he was. And they said, you're coming to wash my feet? And this is God as man. He's washing the feet of the disciples. And like Peter couldn't believe it. He works by example. And Yeshua's showing himself. I mean, you have to do this type of thing. I mean, it's just when you think about the sacrifice he made, how they how they tortured him, how they spit on him, and he really didn't say anything other than to ask the Most High to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Go ahead.
Brother D, I'm really in the last month or two seeing why there's only going to be a remnant. And even this message and what you're saying right now, I see why there's only going to be a remnant. There aren't that many that are willing to humble themselves to the point of washing people's feet and touching them like our Savior did. And these messages that we've been talking about watching your mouth and changing your reaction to people, and I see why there's only going to be a remnant. Our people are stiff-necked, hard-headed, full of pride. But not only that, it's just not too many that can bring themselves to this place of letting the Most High fight their battles and everything. And I was just envisioning when you were saying how he like forced them to sit down. Let me wash your feet. And they almost couldn't take it. And man, there's not too many that are willing to do this.
You're absolutely right. And just like you said, it does put your mind to why there's only going to be a remnant. Because there's a lot of people out there professing to, you know, be in the truth and following Yeshua. But when it comes to it, you know, they're in their pride, you know.
Yeah.
And there's going to come that day when they're going to ask, you know, hey, well, what's going on here? You know,
yeah.
But, you know, once the Most High lays it out to you, exactly what you're doing, you can't help but see it. I mean, and as long as we're doing our best to try and obtain this meekness, because when you do something and you say, oh, you know, forgive me, I'm getting out of order here. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Please forgive me and help me go forward. The Most High knows you that you're trying to be who He wants you to be. But, Brother V, that's pretty much the lesson. I had a few other things, but I can hold off on that right now. Just like I told you, the lesson you gave on Saturday opened my eyes about some things that I need to work on. And this is another thing I need to, work on that meekness. You need to work on that humbleness. You know, and what the Most High wants. Because like I said, you got your chest all puffed out, your pride or whatnot. That's not what the Most High wants. That's not where the Most High wants us to be.
And I'm so glad that He's checking us, because that means He loves us. This is grace. He's trying to get us prepared for His return, which is why He's bringing out some simple truths to us about watching our words, watching our mouth, being more humble, not being vengeful, not being quick to tell people off. Getting back into holiness, stop us. Those idle words are bad words. There's so much He's bringing out because He's separating the wheat from the tares. So, I mean, I appreciate this message. It doesn't have to be a lot. This just hit home, lines up with where we've been preaching and teaching to try to get the people ready. Because what you brought out that was big today in the scripture said that meekness will be your salvation, and the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, I was tripping. Listen to this real quick. Now, okay, that was a song from Prince back when they came up with "We Are the World." The reason I brought that it was a song he wrote on the same album as "We Are the World" when everybody was caught up in humanity, not glorifying Prince. What I'm letting you know is that the powers that be know that the people that they're oppressing, the meek, are the ones that are going to inherit the earth. And he was singing that song. They suppressed it. They didn't want that song to come out. He was condemning the world. I guess that was one of his moments about how they're treating the people in the world. And now that we see the homeless crisis and everything that's happening in the streets, the murders, people are hurting. And the Most High is coming back to save these people that need salvation. So now is our salvation near, ever closer than before. And I mean, even if this man was trying to sing this back in the 80s about the meek shall inherit the earth, we know the world knows. And that's why they're trying to wipe the meek off the face of the earth. But we're the ones who will be protected. So I thank you for that lesson, Brother D.
Oh, I just pray that, that everyone received it well, and just thank the Most High for guiding me.
Yes, sir. You all enjoy the rest of this inspirational Wednesday. It ain't no pagan day. Nah, we're not having that. Y'all know what to do. I'm eating all them little mini.
Exactly. Yeah.
Y'all eat
just
them
like
Snickers.
You said, don't be compromising by trying to fit in with the world by putting your kid in the costume. I don't care what the costume is. We don't need to fit in with the world. We're supposed to separate ourselves from the world.
Yes, in holiness and meekness, tell him, I do not celebrate or participate in anything that has nothing to do with my God. Have a better day. Hallelujah.
Yep, exactly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. All right, brother. Talk to you on the other end. Everybody else, keep the faith, keep your head up, and remain optimistic and keep them statutes, laws, and commandments.
You hear the
Thank you.